Hello, angelic viewers, and welcome to Healthy Living. Alcohol has an extremely negative effect not only on those who drink, but also on their loved ones. Over the years, esteemed American physician Dr. William Glatt has witnessed firsthand the enormous damage done to patients by alcohol consumption.
I'm Dr. William Glatt. I practice internal medicine and addiction medicine at my office in South San Francisco, California. I am also the medical director of an alcohol and drug treatment program at Mills Peninsula Hospital in Burlingame. I've been doing that for 28 years.
Dr. Glatt is widely respected by his patients for his kind, caring attitude. They call him the Hugging Doc because he hugs each one after their visits. He has written and lectured on the healing power of love and hugging and the immune system. One of the Supreme Master Television reporters recently spoke with Dr. Glatt about the physical and psychological impact of drinking, and he provided his expert perspective on the issue.
Can you define what addiction medicine is and tell us how it's certified?
Addiction medicine is the study of alcohol and other drugs and how it affects the body, the patient, family, society, and all the implications and complications thereof. And our goal is to try to educate the public, to treat the alcoholic or addict with professional quality treatment, treat them with respect, just as if they had diabetes or heart disease or any other disease.
A recent study in Scotland found that participants who drank the most alcohol spent 58% more time in the hospital than those who avoided drinking. Does alcohol consumption change our bodies?
Alcohol affects every part of the body. You can start with the simplest thing on the skin, these big, red, bumpy noses, which is called a rhinophyma, dilated veins and arteries on the face, all the way to all the internal organs. It can affect the heart, the liver, the kidneys. Almost every single organ system in the body is affected by alcohol.
And how does it affect your heart?
Probably the most common heart condition is what's called alcoholic cardiomyopathy. Alcohol causes the heart muscle to gradually weaken. We've seen it over the years more in beer drinkers than anything else. They used to call it beer drinker's heart.
What about cancers?
And we have these small little white cells called lymphocytes. They're cleaning up the mess that is being made every day. When you get major stresses to the immune system, or you're under chronic stress or depressed, and most alcoholics have issues in those areas, you have a faulty or malfunctioning immune system, and that's what leads to cancers. Many alcoholics also smoke or use chewing tobacco, snuff, and so you add someone with a faulty immune system and add an outside agent that is irritating to a specific area of their body, and they're much more prone to getting cancers.
So then can you speak to us of brain damage?
Most of the brain damage, I believe, comes from trauma. People getting drunk, falling down, hitting their head, cracking their skulls, drunk driving accidents. So a lot of it is what I call not direct effect of the alcohol, but indirect. But alcohol can also cause damage to the brain. We call it a wet brain. What that means is that there's so much damage over the years from the continuous drinking that they almost appear like Alzheimer's. I've had several patients over the years that we were convinced had Alzheimer's. Basically, it was wet brain. We didn't know at the time. They got put in a nursing home because they totally couldn't take care of themselves. Yeah. And a year later, they came out of the nursing home because they had no access to alcohol, and the brain healed.
What about fetal alcohol syndrome?
Fetal alcoholism is a really hard diagnosis to make. There are some special facial characteristics and other characteristics that don't evolve until later. There are early educational problems with a lot of these children. But alcoholic women more and more are getting educated about fetal alcohol syndrome, particularly by their obstetricians. And I see many patients over the years that through sheer willpower, they find out they're pregnant and they stop drinking. They're strongly motivated by having a healthy baby.
Although alcohol consumption results in a variety of physical and psychological afflictions, research indicates that recovery from most of these diseases is possible if one stops drinking.
I would say most of the alcoholic conditions are reversible. The most common disease or illness associated with alcohol is alcoholic liver disease, and the body is incredibly helpful in healing that. What's a bad combination is hepatitis C in an alcoholic, because hepatitis C is a very slow progressive illness over many years, 15, 20 years, and then you add an insult of alcohol on top of that, you have serious problems. But the body is very, very able to heal. Most people do very, very well if they stop drinking, and it's early enough. And most people, at least that I come in contact with in my practice over the last 25 plus years, have been in that category.
When we return, Dr. Glatt will further discuss the deleterious effects of alcohol and provide some practical suggestions on abstinence. Please stay tuned to Supreme Master Television. Welcome back to Healthy Living. Today's program focuses on alcohol addiction. Last week, physicians in New Zealand asked the government to raise the age at which alcohol may be purchased, because on weekends, teenagers are filling hospital emergency rooms with alcohol-related conditions, such as becoming unconscious after a night of heavy drinking. William Glatt, MD, an American expert on drug and alcohol addictions, recently spoke with Supreme Master Television about the dangers of alcohol consumption.
Define alcoholism?
It's a progressive disease associated with tolerance, which means people need increasing amounts, and there's continued use despite adverse consequences. I think that's the most important thing, is that there's adverse consequences. That could be health issues that we talked about already. It could be family issues, work issues, legal issues, drunk driving, things like that. And there's also this what I call this compulsion to use, make sure there's a supply. And it applies not just to alcohol, but all addictive disease, whether it's an overeater, a gambler, cocaine addict. It's pretty much the same thing. It's characterized by tolerance, which means you need more and more and more to get the same effect. And it's chronic. It's also relapsing, which a lot of people have a hard time dealing with.
Many of those who become dependent on alcohol lose their perspective and rational judgment, a phenomenon doctors call denial.
Denial is very commonly used in our field, but in reality, denial in alcoholism is a delusion. The delusion is that the alcoholic thinks they're doing much better. They have slurred speech. They're incoordinated to some extent. They have terrible chaos in their life, and they always think it's the other people. And very often the family buys into it. And the family has denial, too. If the children didn't yell as much or argue as much with each other and did their homework, then daddy wouldn't drink. That's so common. That's what we call denial.
Can you tell us about the family, how alcohol affects family?
I think probably more than anything else, more than the physical aspects, are the deleterious effects on the family. So one of the things in the family that they need to do to get their loved ones into treatment is to let the adverse consequences occur. If you have a teenager that's arrested for drunk driving, the first thing the parents want to do is go down and bail them out. And in reality, they need to have an awakening. And if the spouse comes home and falls down drunk and throws up, everyone is cleaning up and putting them in bed and putting them in clean pajamas. Those are all enabling behaviors. So one of our jobs is mostly to educate the family to what they're doing is deleterious to getting the alcoholic to want to quit. Many times we get people who come into our program who are here because of their spouse, their children, their work. So they're in only to handle those consequences. And in the long run, that doesn't work.
Can you share a holistic philosophy of treatment with us?
Yeah, I think that was one of the reasons I got interested in this field also. I felt that this was a mind-body-spirit illness. It affects the body. We talked about that. It affects the mind emotionally with people doing all sorts of things that violate their basic values and spiritual. I think if you look back at some of the early literature of AA, which is a very important organization, the founders had a spiritual awakening. And I think that's key. And they developed a set of guidelines and principles and what they call steps. The steps are basically a program of trying to overcome and handle this illness. We encourage participation in 12-step programs, which is Alcoholics Anonymous.
Seeking assistance to overcome alcoholism is critical, and getting help sooner rather than later improves one's chances of realizing this goal.
I think early intervention and early help is wonderful. I just admitted someone today who was drinking intermittently, you know, one or two times a week, having a few glasses of wine. Then he went out with his friends 10 days ago, got drunk, and he's been drinking every day. So it's about 8 or 9 days. And he realized he doesn't want to do this in his life anymore. So he came in, he was hospitalized today. He'll be in a few days, and he'll get back on track. Because he's had many years of sobriety. This is where I talked about early on that so many of my colleagues and so much of society has a hard time accepting that this is a chronic relapsing disease. And this is a classic example. And if you open up your arms to these people and accept them for the illness that they have and deal with them, I think everyone is much more satisfied.
Many thanks to Dr. William Glatt for explaining the numerous injurious effects of alcohol consumption and for assisting many people in ending their addiction so that they may once again lead happy, healthy lives. Kind viewers, thank you for your company on today's episode of Healthy Living. Next up is Science and Spirituality, following Noteworthy News. May you have a blessed day immersed in peace and love from heaven.
For more details, please see www.SupremeMasterTV.com/HL.